Hey, Mama, you don't have time to be messing around endlessly scrolling to find a caregiver for your child. Let me clue you in to my trick to save time and my sanity when finding a sitter. SitterCity.com. SitterCity knows what they're doing. They've been helping busy parents find the perfect sitter for over 20 years. While other sites overwhelm you by throwing hundreds of random profiles your way, SitterCity matches you with caregivers who actually fit your needs. No endless scrolling, no guesswork. I love that all caregivers undergo ID verification. They have background checks, specialized qualifications, and real parent reviews to know if they showed up on time or really know how to handle my sassy toddler. And if I need help, I can talk to a real live human, not a robot, with SitterCity's delightful team. You know, my employer pays for me to get SitterCity completely free as part of my benefits. Yours could too. SitterCity is my go-to for a smarter, simpler way to find reliable, trustworthy care. Don't wait. Go to SitterCity.com/XX and get the help you need.
Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
Howdy, howdy, folks. Welcome back to another episode of Hoot and a Half. We are live, or as live as we can get. You know, we're recording this just a day or two before this is coming out.
First episode of the new year.
We
wanted to have a guest, but right now it's been very tough pinning down a guest because...
Why, Matt? What's going on in the world for the future listeners?
Well, as you guys know, you probably have heard it so many times, but it's still so important. The LA fires are happening. Obviously, we're being safe and being very alert, but it is really hard to pencil in people for them to commit and drive out and be in a place when you don't know what can happen any kind of
yeah the fires
moment.
Are still raging. A lot of people are volunteering, a lot of people are just maybe evacuated, so we are planning on a lot of guests this year. I know we've done a lot of Matt and Mike episodes, which we're very thankful that you watch, but we like having guests too, so more guests to come.
And speaking of the fundraiser, Mike, I know that we touched on it on Good Influences, but Where are we at now? Yesterday it was 8,000, the day before it was 6,000.
It's about 8,500 right now, but I don't know how I'm still getting. Like, people are still sending me money, but my Venmo has not been public for, like, since Friday or Saturday. So
did you close it? Or
no, I just posted it as an Instagram story. So once the Instagram story expired, no one has my Venmo.
Wow. Then but I guess it just continues to reshare and circulate from one screenshot to another screenshot. And it's just because in a way, could an Instagram story, like, last forever?
I mean, no, I don't think so.
Well, I guess in terms of like the share, like if one person, because you know how like it can still be almost 24 hours by the end and then someone shares that. And then by the time that 24 hour, but that's more like by tagging, I guess.
Yeah, no one, I don't think anybody's, except for like Claudia obviously was a huge reshare. And then a few friends shared it too, but I don't think it's live anywhere right now. But yeah, we have, I think, like $3,500 left to spend.
I've been so blown away by, how, not only just for your fundraiser, but for a lot of our other friends who have started them, how successful they have been. And I think a lot of people, sometimes when like a tragedy happens, they're being told to donate in so many different places. And I've been so surprised how many people just feel a good sense of trust by giving their money to a creator that they believe and they know would actually make sure that the money is going to a good cause.
Right. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't trust a Kim Kardashian fundraiser because she's running a business, has a non-profit 501, whatever, you know.
I feel like a person. Are you a person, like, if you're checking out and they're like, would you like to donate 5 cents to this thing?
Don't ever do that.
No. And the reason why is because the company is using that money as a tax write-off for themselves. Like, they are going to take that donation in their own name for them not to pay their taxes.
Yes.
I know. It's such like a weird loophole.
But it is, if you're like at a CVS and they turn the screen, hey, do you want to donate 8 cents to kids with cancer?
Just, would you like to round it up? Even though it's 8 cents and you can spare the change.
But they'll say like kids with cancer, and then you're like people behind. You're like, no, I'm good on the kids with cancer. Like, they force you in this awkward situation. But yeah, don't do that.
What is the most ethical nonprofit that is out there? Like, is there?
What do you mean?
Is the Red Cross actually a good, reliable one to donate?
I will say a lot of them have positives and negatives. There was a good TED Talk. I don't know if you've seen it, about the guy who was like talking about how we think about philanthropy all wrong. Have you seen this TED Talk?
Now, is it like an old, like famous one from like the past 10 years?
Yes.
Or this is
like
it's like from
8 or 10
OG
years ago.
OG TED Talk.
Yes.
TEDx.com.
No, not even TEDx.
Oh, okay.
Original TED Talk. And basically his theory was like, a lot of people promote how much money that they raise goes directly to the people in need. Like, that's the metric. So they'll say, okay, we raised $1 million and we gave 900,000 away directly to people in need. And the way that he was saying is like, the less money that you spend on the CEO of the company or the people that are working there, that's, we're thinking about it backwards. Because if you think about it, if you want to have the most efficient impact and the most, the greatest chance for growth, you want to hire the CEO that was getting paid $10 million to run, you know, who brought Netflix from 0 to 1 billion users. That guy's not going to work for 80 grand a year.
Yeah.
So if you're a, you know, Red Cross or someone, and you hire a really competent CEO that's used to getting paid $500,000 a year, people will like point fingers and say, that's a bad organization because they're paying their CEO 500 grand a year. But if that CEO could make something that only has $1 million, may have $10 million,
mm-hmm.
now it's like, are we really thinking about this the right way? So it was an interesting TED Talk about.
And was his TED Talk just like considering all of it?
He was saying like the way
there is stance.
The stance was like the way that we think about philanthropy is completely inverted, and we shouldn't use the metric of like how many dollars went directly to people as the only metric for.
Oh,
it was really interesting.
That's pretty eye opening.
Yeah, it was a good TED Talk. I don't know where that guy's at right now, but he was almost like crying during his TED Talk because he's like, all I want to do is raise money, but we just like if I want to hire a, you know, a person who's a competent CEO and pay them $500,000 a year, my like fundraiser is going to get shut down because people are just going to say, oh, I'm just padding my pockets. But it's an interesting perspective. I was told, I don't want to talk shit here, but I was told that the World Central Kitchen should not be donating to them.
World Central Kitchen.
Do not give your money to them. If you want to go get a meal there,
I haven't even heard of like World Central Kitchen. Or is this like the World Food Bank?
It's Jose Andres. He's always like on, he's a pretty well-known dude. He's always like on Stephen Colbert.
Okay.
And he does a lot to help people, but the fundraising, I was told from someone who worked with him for like 10 years, do not give him money. He has plenty of fundraising money from like Saudi money and oil money and all these different places. He does do a good job of getting meals to people, but like when you're donating your money, you want to be very careful about who you're giving it to. So I don't know.
So, how are we going to be spending up the remainder of this money? Are we kind of like going to also wait to see like what the supplies that are needed maybe in like 10 years from or 10 days from
now?
Yeah,
I think like, well, also I do want to give a shout out to like our friends, Connor, Tristan, Katie Austin, TK, Nezrin,
Brett
Newstrom, Sodi, Brooke Averick, all of these people, if you see them on Instagram, we trust them. They're our friends. Like, they're doing the right thing. It is really nice to see them doing everything. So right now, I talked to Connor Franta. He said he wants to team up because he also raised about $3,000 so far. So like you said, we want to wait to see what resources are needed, who needs it, because right now things are thankfully just like overwhelmed with donations. Overwhelmed with stuff, so we're going to give everyone a couple of days to sort of suss out and see what they
could need. It get to a point though where like the money will not maybe go to supplies but also money that's needed for a specific
It could be gift cards, could be like direct money to like a shelter that says, hey, we don't need food, we just need our bank account to be full, so in a month from now when this is not the big trend on social media,
we can
buy food for our shelter that like we know we're going to run out of. So we're going to wait to see how the money gets spent, but it will for sure get spent to help people that
and
were
how
affected.
How are we right now with the fires? Is it, was today they said it was going to be bad, but it seems like it's
been
kind
of... Well, the winds
are
apparently picking up now today.
Oh.
And even when I was going outside, I was like, damn, they're whipping up. So I don't know. It's very touch and go.
Okay. Have you ever experienced anything like this in your life?
No. Not even close. No. Like where the sky looks like it's the end of the world for days at a time?
No.
I have not. But for those of you listening who are not directly affected by the fires, we do want to give you a nice classic episode. So I wrote down a couple things we can
Let's touch
laugh
on what
about.
You wrote down some stuff. Let's hear it.
So just some stuff we could talk about, some fun things, some positive things. It's not to take away from, you know, the fires and stuff, but did you see that John Mayer posted Adam on his radio show today?
Shut up.
Yes.
So John Mayer has a radio show, like a Sirius XM kind of show?
Yes, it's called Life with John Mayer. I think it's a channel or maybe it's a show.
Okay.
He'll like interview Shawn Mendes. I think he had Phineas
on
there at one
on?
Point. SiriusXM.
Okay. Oh, so okay. I'm following.
I'm sure
it.
You've
so
seen
it's
it.
Probably yeah. a show where he does maybe like an episode every few days, but then they replay that episode and former episodes.
I wish I knew more about
it. I listen to Margaritaville, like Jimmy Buffett radio, before his passing.
Are you a SiriusXM subscriber?
Only when I get a brand new car and only when I rent a car. That's
yeah, they're
I'm
always
huge...
in the car rentals, yeah.
And but Sirius will get you. And I know that it's like, it's $3. It can be $1
a month. $3 a month?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. And that's where they get you. It's like, you could probably be paying like $10 and you're like, I want it to be over. And they go, okay, we'll do like $3 for like 6 months. They do like a weird thing that like gets
great.
You going. And then I think they do amp up your rate after you've gone through this.
Every time I have a car, like on vacation or somewhere that has Sirius, I'm Shazamming all the time. I find out about so much music. They have 50s on 5. I love the old.
Yeah, what is your go-to radio station though? When you are
sometimes I'll do like 40s on 4, and I'm just like, I want to hear what they were playing in the 40s.
Oh yeah, I love 40s. Or Dave Matthews. Suddenly, I'm a huge Dave Matthews fan when I get in a
or the
car
Bruce
that has
Springsteen
Sirius.
Channel.
Yes, or the E Street Band channel. And I do love Alt Nation.
Like, that's a good one. Yeah,
Alt Nation is really great.
Or the Coffee House, like jazz.
XU or like Sirius, like XU or like indie. It's like more.
It's
indie
great.
Alternative stuff.
They should do some big media blitz where like they give it to you for free for 6 months.
Okay, back step.
Anyway,
John Mayer
on his account posted a screenshot of the like Life with John Mayer new music Wednesday, whatever he does, and it was like just the it said Adam Melcher featuring Mountjoy tagged Adam in it, and it's
hell
just
yeah,
very fucking cool.
Have they met before?
John and Adam, no.
Okay.
But now, apparently, Adam Melcher, my good friend and ex-roommate, is...
Former roommate.
Is that the better way to say it?
yeah. It sounds a little softer.
Okay, yeah, former roommate.
Ex-roommate is like something happened.
No, nothing.
Like someone was like kicked out. There was some conflict.
No, I was there 2 days ago. Everything's great. But yeah, very cool. Adam is very stoked about it. And it was also tough because he put out like a new song and... It's like tough to reschedule a song release, so it was happening as the fires were happening, but the song is doing ridiculously well.
Hell yeah.
I think it's like his best performing single he's ever released. So thank you to everybody who's listening to Room on Your Shoulder by Adam Melcher and Mountjoy. Have
that
you listened
is
to the
so
song?
Cool. I think I've seen clips, but I have not saved
it. I feel
it.
Like
well,
you
we
and
were
Patricia
just talking
would.
About that. Right before we were recording, I just feel like I have not been listening to music much lately.
It is tough to like
I've been like reading a lot and then or just on my phone and I listen to podcasts when I'm driving because I feel like podcasts make time go faster when
that
you're in
true.
Just awful LA traffic all the time.
Yes.
And I feel like the only time I'm listening to music are on Friday nights while I'm getting ready before like I go out. That's like my time.
Interesting.
And I wish I was like a guy where it's like, yeah, play the record. You have some songs going in the background in my place, but sometimes I don't want words. I just like prefer instrumentals because like sometimes I can't think when there's like...
You're focusing on the words and you're getting distracted.
Yeah, but I've just got back into knitting.
I was going to ask you about that.
That's why I have my bag.
There was a brand that reached out today that was asking for like examples of your creativity, and I was looking at the Burger King knitting one that we did. And I was
oh
like,
yeah, where I made my burger scarf.
But
for,
I was like,
it was McDonald's for their quarter pounder.
Yes. Sorry.
But so yeah, it had been 2 years since I knit, and you know, I knit Patricia like a vest. I've knit mini scarves, and then I did a big baby blanket for my brother-in-law and his wife and my niece.
What color would you say this is?
I would say this is like a canary yellow. I don't even know what I just think that like a buttery yellow like
and
butter.
You're making a big swastika. What are you doing?
I am making another baby blanket. I had Channing, our dear friend Channing Glenn. Shout out to Channing. She casted them all on, so it's 109 stitches. And I've done about 4 rows or whatever, but it takes like 10 minutes each time, like back and forth.
It's pretty good.
I just...
New needles?
No, same needles. These are 5mm.
Okay.
And but this is like, what do they call it? Needles in a...
Haystack.
I think needles in the round, or basically it's just on like one connected string. But it's nice. It's really nice. And I was thinking about like listening to a new album like every day, but like
yes.
knitting it. Through
getting
it.
Preparing for your track star debut.
Yeah, so I'm working on the pattern, but that's where we're at now, and you'll get updates. But that last blanket I knit took me
months.
And
this is good though, because I feel like everyone's screen time, especially in LA right now, is through the fucking roof. Like my Instagram stories have never been higher because everyone is just looking for updates.
Yes,
where can I donate? Where can I volunteer? Who needs what? And it is really good. but this must be nice to have a little bit of a break from
the
your
only
screen
problem
time.
Is you can't read while you knit unless you
audiobook.
Oh, I did kind of just start an audiobook.
Which one?
Hail Mary, Project Hail Mary by Andy Weir. Did you ever see The Martian?
He's the author of The Martian, yes.
The movie book. That was out with Matt Damon about the guy who was like first astronaut Mars and gets like abandoned and has to basically create life there. This one is basically to set the scene, similar kind of like a guy wakes up in space. But basically what has happened is that this algae has been growing on the sun and it's been reducing its brightness. And they need to like figure out how to like save the sun.
What's the name of the thing?
Project Hail Mary.
Interesting.
The name of the substance?
The name of the book.
Project Hail Mary. Everyone raves about it, and everyone says that the audio book version of it is like phenomenal. And the guy who's reading it is so good.
Accent?
No. That accent. If they have an accent, it's a deal breaker.
I don't like when I have a British accent on my book.
But what if it's a British book and like it's? Like
I don't care.
Okay, but Harry Potter, like Stephen,
But
Stephen Fry, his Harry Potter audiobook is better than the American. Audiobook. Stephen Fry was the best one.
Okay,
but
that's fair.
Obviously Harry Potter is grounded in like a British world.
The Alchemist. I don't know if you know the famous book.
I've never read The Alchemist.
Okay, it's amazing to read. I've read it twice, and now when I do my, which is another topic, my morning sauna at home, it's got the Bluetooth speakers, and I'm like, I have 30 minutes in here, so I just pop an audiobook on, sit there, no phone. I leave the phone outside, and the Bluetooth just pipes
just
in.
Meditate.
Because I do that separately.
Pop on The Alchemist.
Well, it's so this. Okay. The Alchemist is read by Jeremy Irons, who I believe was the voice of Scar from Lion King.
Oh.
And he's got a very like, and The Alchemist. And I'm just like, this is not how this book is supposed to be read in my ears.
Yeah.
It's like grating. And also, they talk about the word hookah. You know hookah?
Yeah.
Like the Arabic like smoke.
Yeah.
But his accent, he calls it hookers. Or like hooker.
What?
It's so I was like, there's no hookers in this book. But you know, like some British people, like, oh, I have a great idea. Like
people will say that. They'll just pronounce things differently.
Like with an extra R at the end.
Yes.
So Jeremy Irons is talking about hookers.
Aluminium.
And I'm just like, yeah. It's not a pleasant experience. I do wish Audible had multiple versions of an audiobook that I could pick from. Little bit of feedback, Bezos, if you have.
Sometimes there's different ones on like Spotify. Spotify Premium has a great selection of audiobooks as well.
Are they free?
Yes, if they are premium. But some, if they are so new and everyone's talking about it, I think you got to pay for it. But
I never thought about audiobooks on Spotify, but I got to try that.
Oh my gosh, there's a handful that are really great.
Well, thoughts on my sauna?
Thoughts on your sauna. One, happy you have a sauna. That's badass. Pretty jealous. Wish I had space for a sauna, but I'm not going to make this about me. I'm going to make this about you.
No. I wanted this to be about you.
What? In what way about me?
So you would get one if you had the space for it?
100% I would have the space for
it.
Have considered it. Like what?
Outdoors in the back area.
Knowing every day I would have to open up our garage door and undo the lock and all of that and the sound it makes. I don't know. I would much rather have it like in a backyard or in like a basement when I actually have space for it. And you have a really big bathroom and
yeah,
you live alone.
God.
You have two bathrooms.
So last year, saving money was the most popular New Year's resolution in America. And clearly a lot of us feel like our money is slipping through our fingers, but it's not your fault. The whole world is trying to get you to spend your money. There's streaming apps and delivery fees and tips on self-checkout machines, which is crazy. The list goes on, but it's a good thing that there's Acorns. Acorns helps you grow your money into more money. So Matt, why don't you tell everybody what Acorns is?
Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing so your money has a chance to grow for you, for your kids, and for your retirement. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that fits you and your money goals. You don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you invest with the spare money you've got right now. You can start with $5 or even just your spare change.
So we both use Acorns and it gives us to give our money a chance to grow. We highly recommend it. Check out Acorns. Head to acorns.com/hoot or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today.
Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/hoot.
And now back to the episode. Yeah.
We have two bathrooms, but they're both extremely small.
You couldn't fit the sauna in there, but.
Is it a infrared sauna?
Yes.
Now, are infrared saunas like, I won't say they're bad, but they're not as good as finished saunas,
right? The jury's still out. Andrew Huberman is like, which is, you know, the science guy or whatever on podcasts. He's like, if you're going to get an infrared sauna, don't even get one.
Yes, I've heard that sometimes too.
It is. I think it's fucking bullshit.
What's the cheapest Finnish sauna? Okay, what makes it a Finnish sauna versus an infrared sauna for the people who don't know?
The Finnish or traditional sauna uses like a heater that has rocks in it, and it just puts out actual heat. It's like a fucking oven, okay? And those get up to like 200 degrees, 215. You could pour the water on the rocks. It creates a little bit of steam. You could put a little eucalyptus oil on the rocks. Sure. In order to have that, though, you have to plug it in to a 240 volt outlet, meaning what you would plug like a Tesla into or a washing machine or a dishwasher. Like, usually you'll have no one just has those available. You have to hire an electrician. It uses a lot more electricity. It takes like 30 minutes to heat up. Infrared sauna is basically using a spectrum of light, infrared light, which does the same thing. It just creates waves of heat, but
it gives you cancer.
No. apparently, like people are saying it's like high EMF, whatever, but I'm telling you, man, I crank that thing on within 10 minutes. It's at like 150 degrees. I sit in there. Within 10 minutes, I am sweating. Like,
has your body gotten used now to like it sweats much faster?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay.
It's been like 2 weeks.
Because I remember that one time when I took you to LA Fitness, and that's when I was doing saunas like every time.
Yeah.
And I remember we like sat in it, and it like
you started sweating.
2 minutes, I was drenched, and then yes. You were like, I still haven't gotten there yet.
It takes me about 10 minutes for the sweat to start, and it is so frustrating because I'm just like, I feel like I'm wasting my time here.
It'd be interesting if you made like a little study to like see your sweat.
How quickly?
Because I bet the more and more you do it, the more you're going to start sweating like faster.
I hope so.
But I don't know if the infrared like experience is different.
I think it's the same. It's hot as fuck. It makes me sweat. It feels good. I'm dripping. But I also have read that like if you take a hot shower or if you exercise before, it helps you break a sweat. I'm doing it like first thing in the morning. I get out of bed and it's like my motivation.
And then do we hop into the shower right after and do the cold little rinse?
I don't do the cold rinse. I gotta work my way up.
But make it not freezing cold,
but cold. I gotta get there. I know.
Oh, you can't. It feels good more than it feels like
shocking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's what I, right after the steam room, I then go immediately to the shower and I get it just, I would say like 75% to the, like, or 25%.
Yeah.
Of like zero mean freezing cold. Well, yeah. Yeah, I would say that. Enough to where it's a shock.
I put my robe on after.
Okay.
To like, because if you shower right after the sauna, it like doesn't take. Like you'll shower and then you'll hop out and you'll still be sweating. You got to give yourself like 15 minutes to cool down. So I put on a robe, make a little cup of joe, hop in the shower, and then start my day.
Was it easy to assemble?
So easy.
Just like putting what, four slots together?
Basically, it's like four different things. You put the base thing down, you slide in the bench, left side, right side, clips in. It took me like 15 minutes. It's unbelievable.
$1,000?
$9.99 on Amazon.
And was that with the Comic Sans or without the Comic Sans?
There was no option to change the font on the handle of the door. It is Comic Sans. It's hilarious. I kind of like it now. I like that it says sauna as if like, what is that in your, oh, it's a sauna. Okay, I read the
sign. Did you take your phone into it?
No, I don't really think it's a good idea to have your phone in there.
Yeah.
It gets a little hot.
I would always take my phone and everything into like saunas.
Does it get hot where it's like vacation mode? Sorry, your phone's too hot
to
use.
No, I never really thought anything. I just love to listen to things while I was in saunas. But then I learned steam rooms because there's so much moisture.
It'll like fuck your phone up.
It's worse for electronics. So I always have to switch it to like my Evora watch when I go in, which is just, you know, a typical digital simple watch. But I don't take my Apple Watch in because that level of heat can like mess with the glue that's within inside your electronics and cause things to fall out of place and stuff. So it is dangerous, but like I don't think it's like that risky for a sauna.
Also, infrared doesn't get as hot.
Okay.
It's like 150 is the temp in there.
Okay.
But apparently infrared, like they say it penetrates deeper into your muscles because it's like waves that are going into your skin. Maybe that's not good for you. I don't know, but
it's crazy how much like sauna places charge though. Like there's a handful of them around LA, like Paws, and like you get in a sauna and then you immediately get in a cold plunge. They will charge you like $60 a session. I'm like, huh? One, get into the sauna business if people are willing to spend that much. And then it's like hundreds and hundreds of dollars to get the unlimited version.
But you just get a gym membership that has a sauna and a cold plunge.
I know, but I wish we lived more like in an onsen, like Japanese like culture where like there were more like
public
sauna
available
houses that, yeah, you know, aren't totally for just like, you know, I think out of here we view them as like, I don't know, it's like a weird like deep, dark, like hookup culture place rather than more
saunas?
Like, like bathhouses and stuff.
I don't know about that.
No, I think that's like,
you're thinking about like Russian bathhouses
maybe
in
it's
New
just
York?
LA. Like Russian bathhouses in New York.
Yeah, those are like, you know, mafioso criminal underworld. That's where like,
yeah. But like, I don't think there's like that many of those around LA to like,
no,
just go to a place to schwitz.
But in like Finland, I think there's more saunas than there are people in the
country.
Oh
yeah.
Every house has one. Yeah.
I wish it was way part of like more of the norm. I've wanted to like give my parents a sauna too, but I think for them, they're like, I don't know, I don't want to get in like something like that and just sweat. But they like, it's been said it can like extend your longevity.
It's
it can reduce
amazing
inflammation.
It helps your heart. It's amazing.
Yeah, recover your muscles, all of it. My only thing is the sweat, and I'll sit there and I'll dab my forehead as much as I can.
Okay.
But like if I do it 3 or 4 days out of a week, I'll get like heat pimples, like for
oh,
sure.
Oh, interesting.
Just
I feel like
it's
my
like
skin
one
is powerful
glowing zit that just like goes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
My skin, I feel like, it feels so much softer after a sauna because I just sweat it all out.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Yeah, I guess I do it like 4 to 5 times a week.
Are you going to get a sauna hat?
I have one. I bought one.
Oh, cool. This
yes
funny little
a little wool hat.
Yeah.
It's nice because the first few times my hair was like, after I'm trying, like, this doesn't, I'm like frying my hair.
Yeah.
I hope the wool is helpful, but are you wiping yourself off while you're in the sauna to like get rid of the sweat?
I focus more on my forehead, but like right after I do, but then I hop right into the shower. So
yeah,
it's like, I know you're big about like, I want it off of me because I
yes
feel like it's just going back in.
Yes, yes. Which apparently is not the case. I
no
looked it up.
No.
But it feels correct that if
it's
you
just like salt, like just crystallizing.
But
and drying
if it dries
out
on you, isn't it going right back into your skin?
I think what you're getting out
doesn't come back in. It's a
no
one way street.
Yeah.
But
do you have any like eucalyptus oils that you're putting on it?
I just bought some eucalyptus oil.
Yeah, those
also
are
great
nice
in the shower. Pour a couple dabs on the ground before you hop
no
in the shower.
I always forget to like
just
do
put it next
that
to your shampoo.
I think I have some like eucalyptus like tablets too that I've gotten through like PR stuff,
like to ingest,
almost just like a bath bomb. But no, it's just like a big like
oh
Alka-Seltzer thing you put down on the ground.
Yeah, you get a little pure eucalyptus oil, pour it on the floor while your shower's heating up.
Yeah,
amazing experience.
Nice.
That I do every time. Another complaint thought, which maybe we've touched on before, but the fucking, why is there not just like a pressure temperature interface for every shower?
I wish it was
showers
universal too.
Yeah. Oh my
I feel like
God
faucets kind of got it figured out. I feel like most of the times if I'm going in and like to someone's faucet, I kind of knows what's the hot side, what's the cold side.
But you can't adjust for pressure and temperature at the same time.
Correct. Pressure, that's like more of an internal problem you got to go fix.
But
I have, Patricia and I'm totally bragging, we have the best water pressure
for the shower.
Oh my gosh. It is one of my, you know, gratitudes.
Yes.
Like that
yes,
it's one of those things I'll never take for granted.
Okay.
And if we ever move, I hope our shower in our future home has that good.
Did you like
pressure
replace the default shower head that was in there or whatever?
Patricia
was in
says
there
it's always been like that. No, I think it's more of an internal thing.
But I'm saying sometimes those old, like if you have a shower head, it like only has two settings and one of them is like painful.
I'm not a believer
sharp
that like shower heads like can affect like how good a pressure. Sure, it can cover more surface area and come down on you in a different way.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about the pressure
yeah
that comes out of it.
It's not painful.
It could be if you wanted
that's
it to.
That's
I
what
have
I'm
to
saying
reduce it. It's so intense.
That's what I'm saying. Some shower heads, the pressure's too high and the streams are too skinny that it's like needles in your body and it's like unpleasant.
Yeah.
But if you get it in a new head, you can get more surface area and you're not going to lose the pressure. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Ours is just a standard one. We don't have any mods.
You don't have a thing that you could take off?
No.
Ugh, you got to get a hose, man.
I know.
Getting all the nooks and crannies behind your kneecaps.
I just love that pressure. I don't even want to mess with it.
Okay.
I did have, when I lived with Zane, I had one of the best. I was so spoiled with my shower. Do you remember how big that thing was? You could fit like 7 people in it, and it wasn't even a primary bathroom.
In which house?
Willowcrest. Right there when I had the front room that over with the balcony, and I had my bathroom right next to it.
Oh, yeah.
It was huge, dude.
Yeah, that was a huge bathroom.
It had like a his and hers like side to the whole thing.
Yeah, we
thing
were like filming brand deals in there.
Yeah, we sure did, man. It was a great bathroom.
Yeah, you've had a lot of houses in Los Angeles.
I know. These past 2 years have been the only years that I've never moved. It's crazy, even with the fires. I used to live right down there in Russet Canyon off Entrada, and I would have had still been evacuated for it because I basically lived in the Palisades.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know you back then, though.
Oh, right.
It was a different time.
I'll never forget, though, when I was living in that house, though, we had met, and you were in Santa Monica, and you posted on your Instagram story, like, a view right up the street from me.
Oh,
yes. And I was
yes.
like, oh, dude, you're in town? Like, I live right by there. You're like, hell yeah. I even think you called me right after, and I was like, wait, I don't want to get on a call just yet. Because I know like how aggressive you wanted to talk business. I wanted to be friends with you before like manager stuff.
I think we were friends for like a full year before we were working together.
Yeah.
Right?
It is pretty crazy how fast times, how long I've known you.
Yeah, we had to fill out something today that was like Matt King LLC. How many years have you been in business? And I was like, oh my God, it's been like 5 years. You like did
LLC
Matt King LLC in like 2020.
Yeah.
But I think I met you in like 2017.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's bananas.
Gosh, it's crazy.
You were like skinny back then.
Yeah.
When I get the remember when, and you're just like twig.
Oh, I was a, yeah.
You don't even like looking at yourself that way.
I know. That's what's really tough is, I wouldn't say I don't have like body dysmorphia. Like I'm whatever I'm like currently in, I'm always like pretty happy and like content with my body.
Yeah.
But it is weird looking back on a time where like I was extremely skinny. I don't like looking at photos of that. Also, I feel like that's a little like personal times of going through like dark
right,
like,
where you were
just like breakups and just like emotional depression and things like that. But yeah, it's always just that when you have to that whole era of your life where like there's photos and you're just like, I don't want to go through that. Do you ever feel like that?
Kind of. I think it's more of just like, what was I wearing? Like a lot of V-necks. And
oh,
like,
yeah. And I was wearing overalls and like that millennial pink color that was so popular.
Yes.
But it was also youthful.
That was the time.
It was the time.
Yeah.
It was the time.
But just I would wear like extra small shirts and like V-necks.
Oh,
like
gosh,
with stripes
purple
on them.
V-neck.
Yeah. It's just like, ugh. Like how did any – why did a single girl talk to me ever? You know? But – I guess, yeah, it was just a...
Do you think there's... I saw an interesting TikTok, and it was from Jason Pargan, who's one of my favorite authors.
That guy sometimes just get to the fucking point, dude.
He's an author. He's
but
a writer.
He's just fucking rambling.
I think he gets a good amount of income when his videos do well, so he's trying to hit the minute mark.
I know.
But he had like an interesting thing. He goes, do you think people have not changed that much in the past 20 years, the way people look? And I mean also like the way they dress, and I'm talking about like American normal culture, where if you were maybe in the 90s and you looked at photos of how people were in the 70s and 80s and 60s and 50s, all of those decades had very distinct looks.
Yes.
Like really defying articles of clothing, hairstyle,
decade,
and all of that.
Decade
the
defining.
Past 20 years have been, sure, there's like maybe some light fashion trends of styling of shirts, but nothing that is like as aggressive as it once was.
Like a leisure suit was the 70s or the flapper costumes of the 20s. Yes.
Yeah, the big frizzy hair of the 80s and the
grunge of the
90s. I think
it's
going to
take
90s.
A little while.
But someone, one of the top comments on the video that I thought was like, oh, maybe that's it. It's the birth of the internet. And that in a way, the internet has given us this, I don't want to say like frequency, but it always is giving a constant context of the times that we're like in, and we're reflecting it back onto each other.
It also flattens culture. Like,
yes.
You used to be like, oh, if you live in the Northeast, there's a specific way people look and talk and think. The South, obviously very different. If you're starting a band in a garage in Nebraska, like there's a Nebraska garage scene in the 90s.
Yes.
That's,
and there's still subcultures like to everything,
but culture
in the
is
state,
being
like,
distributed much more evenly across the world.
Right,
but it's also not, we're still too early. We're still too early. Looking back,
like look at people in the office, and that was like what 2005. They don't look that different that compared to now, and that was 20 years ago. So if you were in the 2000s, and you looked at the 80s. Those look like two whole different things.
Yes, but also there are sometimes like you'll see a movie from 2003, and you're like, this looks like it's 1994.
Right.
Early 2000s still is definitely a look. But there was an interview with like Jerry Seinfeld I saw where they were asking about what it was like in the 50s, 60s, 70s. And he was saying when it's a new decade, curtains down, curtains up, new decade. Like people were just with it. And I do think that there is – something psychological about like, we're out of the 60s, we're in the 70s now. It's a new era.
It's wild we're now in the mid-20s. Like,
I think once we hit like 30s, 40s, 50s, then it will be a little bit more.
I kind of thought 2020, the 20s right now would be way more outrageous coming from COVID. Like, I thought like, oh, these years, those 2 years of us being like really under lockdown and not being able to go out as much, that people would have had like a bigger, that culturally it would be like things a little bit more loud and aggressive and wackier.
I think we just got it, man. Sweatshirts,
sweatpants, sneakers. It's like, yeah, people have leaned more into comfort because we enjoyed that time and we romanticized the solitude that we had.
And it's also less formal. Like, things don't need to be as formal.
True.
We're removing this like puritanical American corporate, like, you better show up for work wearing a suit and tie, buddy, or you're not fit to work at McCoy Industries. Like,
is it bad that like I miss the days where people had to wear suits to offices? I think certain professions, I think, yeah, I guess you should wear a suit.
There's something to be said for like formality and professionalism. I do think professionalism is a good thing to some extent. But in some cases, it could be a little oppressive. And it's like, we don't need, like,
you have to spend money on dry cleaning and making sure those suits are clean. It's like, that's costing you extra money. Like, yourself that you have.
We'll be right back after a quick word from today's sponsor, Apostrophe. So there's sometimes when your skin can make a big impact on your day, whether that's a pimple before the first day of prom or a breakout on first day of a new job. And it's not great. Sometimes your skin matters and Apostrophe is here to help.
Apostrophe is an online platform that connects you with an expert dermatology team to get customized acne and dermatology treatment for your unique skin. Through Apostrophe, you can get access to oral and topical medications that use clinically proven ingredients to help clear acne. Simply fill out an online consultation about your skin goals and medical history, then snap a few selfies, and a dermatology provider will create a customized treatment plan for you. Apostrophe offers access to prescription treatments for all types of acne, from hormonal acne to facial acne, and even back, chest, and butt acne. Treat breakouts from head to toe.
We've taken the quiz. We've signed up. It's incredibly easy. They make it super comfortable. Everything comes packaged beautifully. The products are amazing. We highly recommend it. And we have a special deal for our audience. You can get your first visit for only $5 at apostrophe.com/hoot when you use our code HOOT, H-O-O-T. That's a savings of $15. This code is only available to our listeners. To get started, just go to apostrophe.com/hoot and click get started, then use our code HOOT at sign up, and you'll get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode, and now back to the show. If you work at like a bank and you're not seeing clients, I don't really understand why you need to be wearing a suit and tie, but they still do it.
Like, do you ever think there will be like a retreat back to that time and people will start wearing suits?
No, I think people just get more and more informal and individualized and free.
Okay, what about like if you go to like a very intense private school and you should like the students should wear suits and stuff?
I think this is your private school Texas mentality. I don't know. I don't actually know
like much schools that I knew in Texas where they did have to wear suits and stuff. But
suits
I know
might be a little crazy.
Like,
I like the idea of the.
Did you have to wear a uniform?
No, not a uniform, but the Jewish school had like collared shirt tucked in, no jeans.
Now, was the collared shirt from like a Jewish brand?
No, it was like Abercrombie and Hollister.
Oh, okay. Yeah, wasn't like, oh, you got to get this like.
No, it was just
like,
I would do the
knitted garment.
What's the three button with the collar and a t-shirt? A polo?
Yes, a polo, Mike. What is a shirt with a three button?
I have
a collar.
I don't think I've worn one of those types of shirts since 2003. I don't own a single one.
I love a polo.
Where I've never seen you wear a polo. You wear a lot of. You used to wear a lot of the rugby shirts. That's a Matt King
yes,
shirt if I've
I
ever seen one.
Yes, I do love rugby shirts, but I have a handful of polos. I usually like to wear them, I guess, in the summertime. But
I can't imagine.
Well, usually if I'm coming over to your house in the summertime, I'm having just like a button-up little Hawaiian shirt because I'm out like in the hot. But like if I'm out like it's like summertime evening, outdoor dinner, I'll rock a polo.
You own a polo?
I own like at least 10 polos.
I don't think I own a single polo. It's also confusing because it's. Isn't it a brand? Polo Ralph Lauren is a brand?
Correct. Ralph
so they just,
Lauren
he
is
just
a fashion
took over
designer.
It.
Polo is one of his brands. And
so, but it's a type of shirt.
It is a type of
so
shirt.
Like
but
like
I also
Abercrombie.
Feel like it's like, it's like Kleenex. Like,
so
it's
is
like
it,
a tissue.
Is that one of those genericisms?
That's a really good question, but I think he kind of coined the shirt and like made it big.
Like so. It would be like if Abercrombie took over Hoodie. Oh, you're wearing an Abercrombie? Like, what is that? I don't know.
Well, that's a really good question. But no, I think no, the Polo always existed, but his brand, by putting the Polo logo, just called it Polo.
Okay, new topic.
Yeah, what's up?
I just bought these shoes, which you don't really approve of, but
it's
okay.
For the people listening, he is wearing New Balances.
Which I happen to think are super comfortable and great, and they're the
They are cooler than my shoes. Mine are Amazon shoes I bought for cheap one time for a Rams game.
These are the 574 Classics. Yes. I used to have the Core, but I just wanted a pair of shoes that were like comfortable, lightweight. I could put them on, pop them off, whatever. But during Black Friday, I was looking for some deals, and stores don't always have the same stuff that's online. Do you buy shoes or sneakers online?
Yes, every single time. I don't think it's been forever since I've gone in to buy a pair of shoes in person.
Wow. Completely different.
You got to try them on?
Yeah, well, my point is like there was one company I was trying to buy, L.L. Bean. I was trying to buy a pair of shoes from them. And like I had to try 7 different sizes that they had to ship me and I had to ship back because their sizing was just out of control. The wide, the 9.5, the this, that. And it was such a schlep to get one pair of shoes that I'm like, I never want to buy a pair of shoes online again. I will go to a store, try them on. And
walk around and run a few laps.
You do
and
that
stuff.
Like walk where you're like, dude, can I feel? Yeah, no.
Yeah.
It's crazy to me that people buy shoes online because of the schlep of returning
shoes.
I read
reviews aggressively for sizing and stuff. So
why not
just
go to the store?
That there's like a person who is my height and has my like stature. Usually those are in reviews, and I try to find a guy
because it's not
who's as tall as me and weighs the same as me. And what size they wear, or what size they normally wear, and what size they were happy with.
Ugh, it was so irritating. And I did it with New Balance too. I got a different pair of the like Nikes, some New Balances. I was like, yeah, I'll just try and order. Every single thing I ordered just didn't fit. And it was like,
wow,
what a waste.
Yeah.
And it was, I was so frustrated.
Do you think
frustrated.
You don't know really what size your shoes are?
Well,
maybe you should get like properly fitted.
Well, I thought I was, but I feel like these companies are just fucking around with their quality control and sizes are not as unique
for L.L. Bean. I'm always a 10 and I'm 11 normally.
Well,
I
just usually a 10, use sometimes wide if like a shoe is a little narrow, but the only other pair of shoes I've been wearing for the last year was New Balance. So I was like, all right, I know my New Balance size.
New Balance
and
are great.
These are great. So now I'm just like, I'm kind of swearing off buying shoes online.
Okay.
It was traumatic.
I think I'm like not, I'm losing my love for like sneaker like culture. Like, oh, I got to get those sneakers. Those ones are about to drop. Like I would set like alarms on my phone to like buy certain shoes. And now I'm like, there's actually tons of cool shoes out there that are like hidden gems that are $80.
It's not cool to have the newest Nike app.
Because I beat them up. I wish I was a true sneakerhead to where I had 12 really clean pairs all together at the same time and I could alternate between those. When I get a new pair of shoe, I fall in love with it and I beat it to the ground. I'm never going, and I still hoard so many shoes thinking I'm going to get around and like rock them, and I just don't do it.
Meaning unworn shoes?
Yeah, shoes that are like lightly worn, but I don't want to go reach it. And I think it's because I like being able to take off my shoes right when I walk in the living room, and I don't want to have to carry my shoes all the way to my closet, put them in the do the whole. If I maybe had like a nice
print. Why don't you just wear them out then? If you like them and they're lightly worn, wear them out. You're not saving them for anything. You're not going to sell them.
Yeah.
You're not going on StockX.
I think it's like I look back and I go, I feel like I wore those shoes a lot and people are going to remember me because I wore those shoes so much, you know? And I really don't think people pay attention
they
that much.
They do not pay attention.
Shoes.
Like
nobody.
Remember when we did the Casey Neistat episode and his friend had those blue Adidas?
Yes.
I've worn those still maybe like 30 times over the past 4 years. So they still look brand new and they're great. You pop them on once in a while, people are like, oh, those are cool, and then you put them back. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, certain moments I feel like with guys where like they will notice the shoes, but when you're out and about at night, no one's looking down at the shoes.
No. Oh, at night, definitely not.
No.
Shoes are a daytime thing,
and they
and their utility, just whatever's comfortable gets you from point A to point B, it's fine.
Yeah.
But I got a new pair of like black shoes, which I know you said make me look like I work at a restaurant or something, but
yeah,
I finally found one. I was trying to look for the L.L. Bean, and now I'm like, I'm set with my shoe wardrobe, which is nice.
Cool. Do you own a pair of cowboy boots?
No, I have Chelsea boots, and they're a little, they don't really fit me well.
Oh, Chelsea boots.
I know.
The ones that have like the little like.
The tag. The tag's just on the back.
Yeah.
But
there's like that like elastic like spacing in between it, like right here where there's like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Easy to slip on and off. I mean, those are very, like, I think 2007.
They don't look good on me. Every time I wear them, someone says something. They're like, oh, Chelsea. And I'm just like, I don't want to wear them anymore.
Okay.
I like them because they give me a little bit of height.
I think cowboy boots you could rock and give you a bunch of height.
Matt.
What? Some cowboy boots.
Jewish cowboys? I don't think so.
Yeah,
man.
The Hebrew hammer.
I don't know if that's my.
But someone really can't tell you were in a cowboy boot because the jeans go over. It's really not that, but it's like you feel like you can take anything on.
I do feel cool wearing a boot, but I just, when I then look like what's going on above the waist, it's like this, and I'm just like.
No one will know. One will know, Mike. I think you can.
Okay, maybe I'll try to invest in a cowboy boot. But right now, I'm very happy.
Tacovas make fantastic boots.
I got to get my pants resized, though. I went to the place, and they're just a little. I feel like they're a little too short.
Oh, the shoes are wrong, and then the pants.
I'm trying to invest in my fashion. The hem is wrong on the pants.
Because this
is my default sweatpants and a sweatshirt, and I'm trying to like buy nicer clothes so I look better. And it's just one thing after another, Matt. I don't know. It's.
And did they do a good job on the hemming of the pants?
They were I thought like the hem looks great, but it's like just a little bit shorter than they were supposed to do it. And now when I wear it, I feel like it look like Michael Jackson, where like, you know, you see his socks every time he walks around or.
Sometimes it's nice to have a little flair. You know.
I know, but then Aaron was like, those socks are not, I don't know about those socks. And I'm just like, well, now I need to worry about what socks. Yeah. I just can't. Fashion is just one of these things that forever eludes my ability. So. Mm-hmm. I thought 2025 was going to be my year, but.
I feel like now I know my basics. I'm pretty good about it.
I'm working on it. I'm still working on it.
I just love an Oxford collar button down. That's like my fail safe. I can, like, I love it. And I know that I'll have it for the rest of my life.
What brand Oxford collar are you doing?
J.Crew or Gap, usually. Oh. They're really well made. Sometimes Gap's colors fade, but that's after you wear. I've been wearing mine for like years, but I love it. And I recently got. Hopefully this is interesting to the people. I went to J. Crew, got an Oxford collar button down, came back. It was Christmas time, putting it on, so excited. You know, took the tag off, and I look, and the collar where the button goes into, no slit was ever made into it.
Oh, that's
just
not good.
Skipped it in manufacturing, and I was like, "What
did
in the world?"
Both buttons or just one?
Just one.
Oh, that's a.
They
fuck
did
up.
The one, then do the other, and I was so excited to go back to J. Crew, not to be like angry, but just to be like. Look, and I know my tag was ripped off. I didn't have the receipt, but they have my account. But I was just like, look, it's missing. And they're like, oh, shoot, that's.
And they returned it for you?
Yeah, they gave me a gift card. It was great, but I just love when I was like, this is wrong. There should be a hole here, but there's
when
not.
When the customer is right?
Yeah, but I wasn't doing it to be rude. I just wanted to see their reaction, knowing that.
Dude, it's like a high school kid that's getting paid $12 an hour. They don't give a fuck. They're
Yeah.
What?
It was a learning experience for the guy working there because it was like, I think it was one of his like first or second days.
And what do I do?
And the guy was like, oh, okay, well, for this, give him a gift card.
Did you get yourself an Auntie Anne's pretzel as a reward?
No, not an Auntie Anne's pretzel. No, at Century City, they have better than Auntie Anne's.
What? Oh, Century City is a crazy place.
It is the best mall, I would say, in America.
It's amazing.
All of the businesses are thriving businesses. None of them are just those weird, sad little pop-ups that you see in a dead mall.
Like Western Resort or something.
Yes.
Like, well, who is buying this?
Oh, it's so great.
Crystal
we did
Gems.
Hot Pot. Have you ever done Hot Pot? Well, you can't.
What
but
is
I
that?
Think you could do it.
They have an Eataly there? Oh, my God.
Hot Pot. Well, you probably have never done Korean barbecue. But you're familiar with it where
you cook
it in front of you. Hot Pot.
We did that with Greg Barrett once.
Hot Pot is like four little like sections. You order different broths. You can do like, ooh, like a spice, like a tomato broth. You can do like
this a brand?
Tom Yum broth. Haidi Lao is a chain that is incredible. They run this place like it's the Apple store. It's super clean. They have like secret menu. They give you free little items and stuff.
Sick.
It's incredible. They do noodle dances in front of you. They have robots that serve you food. There's a little sauce bar that you can mix up all
Century
the different toppings. Haidi Lao. And then you order your meats. You toss the meat into the broth and it cooks. And then you put it in your dish and you eat it. It's fantastic.
Sounds
I love
amazing.
Hot Pot. I love it. But I bet you can order tons of vegetables. But I don't know. Like if meat had already been in a broth cooking, could you even
broth? Cook? No, but they maybe they have a vegetable broth.
Wait, you could. Okay, but you would just be like, nobody touches broth. This is my vegetable broth.
If they have a vegetable broth, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I'll check
but
it out.
I'm saying if there was a broth, no meat was in the broth, but I cooked my meat in the broth and I took it out.
Uncoated.
Damn.
I know.
But it's fantastic. And why did we get there?
We were talking about Wetzel's Pretzels.
And Heidi Lau, that's my new place to go to at the mall.
I did go to an NHL hockey game with Adam.
Cool.
On New Year's Day, we saw the New Jersey Devils lose to the LA Kings. Will Ferrell was there, as he always is, which was cool. Wetzel's Pretzels and a beer, $40 at this place.
Come again?
Yeah,
for one big pretzel.
A regular sized pretzel and a like a tall boy beer.
$24.
Could not believe it. The pretzel's 10, the beer's like 26. Tax and
not
tip.
Even any if I'm spending that much, I want some protein.
I mean,
I can't do a pretzel.
It was outrageous.
What do we dip in the pretzel in?
Oh, no dip. You didn't get a dip.
I know, but what do you put on a pretzel if you get a pretzel?
I usually ask them to re-dip it in salt because I want a fresh butter and fresh salt.
You just eat a pretzel raw? You don't put mustard?
A salted pretzel?
Oh,
yeah.
I like mustard on my pretzels.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Or like when they do the cinnamon bites, but those are too indulgent.
That's a dessert.
Like. Yeah,
that's a dessert.
Or a Cinnabon. Who is buying Cinnabons?
People do,
that's
man.
That's crazy.
Zane the Jazzy is buying Cinnabons.
I feel like if I ate an entire Cinnabon, I feel like I would physically not feel well for days. Like, yeah. I would feel like I'd sweat and like, it's just so, it's too, I have one bite and I'm like, how are people living like this?
I think it's more, I don't think people wake up and go, today I'm going to have a Cinnabon. I think they go to the mall, they go, I got things on my to-do list I need to do. I have to do
but,
these things.
But and that's going to stop your day.
And that delicious goodness goes right into their nose and they go,
I'm going to go ruin my day.
I think I'm having a set. I deserve a treat.
That's how I feel about Auntie Anne's or a Wetzel's pretzel. Give me that soft, buttery, salty goodness.
Yes.
But
I do love hot dog on a stick.
Okay.
Hot dog on a stick. I love a corn dog.
Yeah.
Corn dog, actually, if they offered corn dog in more places, I would get that every time. Because if I'm at a ball game, they give you the little mini pizzas made by Pizza Hut that are like this big.
Yeah, not good.
And then popcorn, a hot dog. Hot dogs, I can actually, like, I can deal with
a good hot dog, nothing beats it.
No.
But a bad hot dog, not the best.
Are there a lot of kosher hot dogs? I feel like most hot dogs are kosher, right?
I hear
kosher dogs.
They do. Hebrew National does a good job of being out where a lot of people are. But like,
what are you putting on a hot dog, Mike? What?
Nothing?
Just eating it raw?
No, a little bit of ketchup, maybe some mustard, love some pickles.
I do more mustard, a little bit of ketchup.
I don't like lettuce or tomato if they do that weird stuff.
Oh, like a Chicago dog.
Yeah, I don't, they're just too juicy and like soggy.
Yeah.
But a dog, when they grill the bun, that's how you know you got a good fucking dog.
It's on the grill, like a rotator, it's got it nice like buttered up.
But when the grill itself, or when the bun itself is also has the grill marks. Like sometimes you'll just get like a boiled hot dog on like a flat piece of white bread and it's all just undercooked and you're just like, what are we doing here, folks?
Mm.
I want to see grill marks. I want to see grill marks on the hot dog. I want to see grill marks on the bun. Great day.
Yeah.
Although, don't look up how a hot dog is made. That is not appetizing at all.
I know. It is kind of weird.
But, you know, things are good. We're doing well. Well, thanks for watching another episode, our first episode of the year. We appreciate all your support throughout the years. We'll be back hopefully with a guest for next week.
Hopefully we will have a guest.
Things will be better in LA and we'll be able to schedule. But for now, if you see anybody that's looking to raise money or whatever you want to support, please go support. And we'll see you next week.
Toodles.
Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
work.
Military veterans and active duty service members, you could become a certified cyber warrior with just 12 weeks of training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, and IT pros with these skills often enjoy abundant opportunity and a great lifestyle. Protect our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. SkillBridge and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP.